right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, July 11th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is 72 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Stroke, AI Newsbots, Dr. Watson, Your Mother, and Brain Interfaces. We talked about a bunch of things, took a look at where I've been for the last few weeks and some of the coming marching along of AI and how things have been transpiring since we haven't been looking. Looks like AI is coming up everywhere. It's all coming up roses. They are planning on having artificial intelligence write simple local news stories and kind of drown the market so they don't have to pay any people. And it'll be a good way to get their news out there and get a start. But they're also looking at 85% of millennials who would be willing to give the healthcare of their children over to the machine. And then we read a story about the AI psychiatrist who has questions about your mother and good old Elon Musk and his neural interface and kind of how that works. It's going to be a tertiary level on top of where we are already that sort of takes the place of our smart device and any of our applications that we depend upon. But it gets even better than that. So I've been mentioning for a while, and we've never gotten here, so I managed to dig up some of these stories to talk about today about how since the election, which we found out yesterday, the election was the first time that they had actually had AI journalists writing stories. That was for this last election. But I've been talking about how I've been seeing a mantra about puny human emotions and how AI should be allowed to make our decisions in the world of government. We read a few weeks, maybe a month or so back, about NATO was already looking at utilizing AI to help it make decisions. I think we're going to see a lot more of that. So there was a story out of the Business of Federal Technology magazine from July 7th, 2017, but I've seen this for probably the last 6 months or so. Is government ready for AI? Look out, people, because here it comes. Artificial intelligence is helping the Army keep its Stryker armored vehicles in fighting shape. We started this at the end of the show yesterday. Army officials are using IBM's Watson to, in combination with its onboard sensor data, repair manuals, and 15 years of maintenance data, to predict mechanical problems before they happen. IBM and the Army's Redstone Arsenal Post in Alabama demonstrated Watson's abilities on the 350 Stryker vehicle during a field test that began in mid-2016. The Army is now reviewing the results of that test to evaluate Watson's ability to assist human mechanics, and the early insights are encouraging. And remember, it's going to be the human body next. The Watson AI enabled the pilot program's leaders to create the equivalent of personalized medicine for each of the vehicles tested, said Sam Gordy, general manager of IBM's U.S. Federal. Watson wasn't able to tell mechanics that, quote, you need to replace this part now because you don't. If you don't, it's going to break when this vehicle is out on patrol, he added. The Army is one of a handful of early adopters in the federal government, and several other agencies are looking at using AI, machine learning, and related technologies. And AI experts cite dozens of potential government uses, including cognitive chatbots like Tay that answer common questions from the public and complex AIs that search for patterns that could signal Medicaid fraud, tax cheating, or criminal activity. Ding, ding. And there are, for lack of a better number, a gazillion sweet spots for AI in government, says Daniel Enthenhoven, business development manager at Domino Data Lab, a vendor of AI and data science collaboration tools. Still, many agencies will need to answer some difficult questions before they embrace AI, machine learning, and autonomous systems. For instance, How will the agencies audit decisions made by intelligent systems? And then as a project DARPA is working on, how will they gather data from often disparate sources to fuel intelligent decisions? And how will agencies manage their employees when AI systems take over tasks previously performed by humans? And that's a very good question. Yesterday, I had to go to a doctor's appointment with a follow-up with my primary care. And as I was driving, I was kind of thinking back over my last 2 weeks, realizing how inefficient humans are at not only performing testing, but then correlating data and trying to come to decisions. We're not very quick or accurate at that at times. Maybe we can be, but we aren't natively, because humans have lots of foibles. And like I mentioned yesterday, even the emotional one, just because we are affected by our emotions, could cause us to make testy or hasty decisions that might not be in our best interest. And because of that, I think the machine is going to win. And it's kind of a sobering thought to make. But as I was driving, I was realizing how all these things that we pay humans for, not only pay them for, but humans need time off and humans get sick and humans can't work 24/7 and they need holidays and they need health insurance and they need bennies. They need retirement. And all these other things that cost money. I don't see how humans, when put to the task against a machine, are going to win. I really don't. And that's a sad fact of the matter. I don't think I actually looked at that fully before my incident, but after sitting there wishing I had Dr. Watson to diagnose me, it made me realize that even our best and brightest smarty pants don't always have the answers and might not have what is best in our best interest at heart or in mind, because they don't know about it yet. Anyway, back to the story. So using AI should save the Bureau money because, quote, you have a big computer doing this instead of people. And if it is trained correctly, the system will provide more accurate answers than a group of call center workers could. You train Watson once and it understands everything. You're getting a very consistent answer time after time. And for many agencies, however, it is still early in the AI adoption cycle. The use of technology is very, very nascent in government, says William Eggers, executive director of the Deloitte Center for Government Insights and co-author of a recent study on AI in government. If it was a 9-inning baseball game, we'd probably be in the first inning right now. And like I've said many, many times, it is just the beginning. So remember, as they start writing case studies and showing the huge amounts of money that are saved over 10, 20, 30 years in training or benefits, it's going to be a no-brainer economically. And that's the frightening part, guys. We are going to be replaced by a machine. And where does that leave us? I mean, if your entire livelihood is replaced by some sort of device, so you don't even have a way to earn a living anymore, where is that going to leave you psychologically or mentally? Where is that going to leave you from a health perspective if you feel that you don't really have a purpose anymore, or what you've spent your lifelong study, learning, and understanding no longer is relevant because there's somebody who is much more intelligent and efficient than you? I mean, it's kind of like the next step beyond globalization. Globalization brought a lot of those fears. And then automation. But this has gone beyond automation. This is the big super pulsating brain that'll be able to outdo every smart person on the planet as far as being accurate and being efficient. I don't see really where this ends, except in the 21st century war with artificial intelligence and who could build them bigger, faster, and stronger and smarter. Anyway, they added that over the next couple years, agencies can expect to see AI-like functionality being incorporated into the software products that are marketed to them. The first step for many civilian agencies appears to be AI as a chatbot or a telephone agent. Daniel Castandro, Vice President of Information Technology and Innovation Foundation, said intelligent agents should be able to answer about 90% of the questions agencies receive, and people asking those questions aren't likely to miss having a human response or some snotty telephone agent or people who accidentally hang up on you, whoops, after you sat on hold for 25 minutes. It is not like people are expecting to know their IRS agents when they call them up with a question, or the phone company or anyone else that you have difficulty getting in touch with who gives you a pain in the neck. The General Services Administration Emerging Citizen Technology Program, it's got to be in Europe, because we don't have one of those here, launched an open source pilot project in April to help federal agencies make their information available to intelligent personal assistants such as Amazon's Alexa, Google's Assistant, and Microsoft's Cortana. More than 24 agencies, including the Departments of Energy, Homeland Security, and Transportation, are participating. And many vendors and other technology experts see huge opportunities for AI inside and outside the government. Back in June, an IDC study sponsored by Salesforce.com predicted that AI adoption will ramp up quickly in the next 4 years. AI-powered customer relationship management activities will add $1.1 trillion to business revenue and create more than 800,000 jobs from 2017 to 2021, states the study. I'd be interested to see where those jobs would be. In the federal government, using AI to automate tasks now performed by employees would save at least 96.7 million working hours a year. Yes, that humans don't have to work. You get a permanent vacation. A cost savings of $3.3 billion, according to the Deloitte study. And based on the high end of the Deloitte estimates, AI adoption could save as many as 1.2 billion working hours. And that would be $41 billion every single year. AI-based applications can reduce backlogs, cut costs, overcome resource constraints, free up workers from mundane tasks, and improve the accuracy of projections, inject intelligence, which human workers don't seem to have, into scores of processes and systems, and handle many other tasks humans can't easily do on our own, such as sifting through millions of documents in real time for the most relevant content, the report states. That's horrifying, guys. I mean, we are just too puny and too lazy and not as efficient as the machine, and it's going to be our undoing. AI versus the workforce. Although some, like Jewel, might fear a robot takeover, Eggers says federal workers should not worry about their jobs in the near term. Of course you shouldn't. Shh, go back to sleep. Although there is likely to be pressure from lawmakers to use AI to reduce the government's headcount, agencies should look at AI as a way to supplement employees' work and allow them to focus on more creative and difficult tasks, he added. Because humans are so damn creative. Especially in the government. I think that was supposed to be a joke. Hold on, let's get to page two. Page two isn't clicking. Oh, please don't do this. Page two isn't clicking. Oh, here it goes. Click. Yeah, I don't see how. Let's let the government workers, who make way too much money and benefits for the average bear in a lot of cases, let's let them focus on creative tasks and not get rid of the big bloated system where nobody can make decisions. Let's just put a big pulsating brain in charge. I'm going to be singing in a minute. Oh, come on. This actually is the one thing that makes me not want to do a show, is all the persistent computer issues on a daily basis that come out of nowhere, click a button and go into forever hold. Makes my blood pressure go up. The goal is to ask, how do we automate the menial, the dull, the repetitive tasks so you can free up labor to do more important things? There are always going to be more things for government to do than we have resources for. So agencies should think of AI as its new digital labor force so we can make better decisions, so we can make faster decisions, so we can serve citizens better on a platter, he added. No, I added that. Then you can look at getting a lot of value out of this as opposed to doing it in a kind of random way. So they would explain Obama's famous last words where he held that AI conference at Penn U, or maybe it was Carnegie Mellon, and kind of laughed and said, oh, the future is an AI. Is he left like the Penguin out of office? Castro, and that must be someone who works for this agency, said AI promises to change the nature of government work, and he added that employees, quote, will be left with the good stuff like all the surveillance. If you can take away the pain of government bureaucracy, and AI can do a lot of that, then you can change the culture of government and make them more efficient on spying on everything you do. Megan Metzger, founder and CEO of government-focused IT accelerator called Decode42, said that agencies who want to adopt AI for customer-facing systems must prepare their employees for the changes. You're not going to be replacing staff. You just need to change their skill set, she said. They're accomplishing different things. She added that, quote, she and her colleagues at Decode42, which offered an AI in government program for vendors this year, are seeing huge interest in AI, machine learning, and related technologies from government agencies. Many, however, are still trying to understand the technologies and their effects and their ethical boundaries, she said. How to audit a robot? Well, beyond employee management issues, one of the biggest obstacles to using AI in government is the auditability of the decisions that they are making. But don't worry, DARPA's working on that. And in the European Union, regulators want people to be able to demand an explanation when an intelligent system makes a decision that affects them, something that humans in government apparently cannot do. The vision of that right to an explanation might be included in the EU's General Data Protection Regulation that is due in 2018. So we're just going to sign the entire world off to be run by intelligent systems. How horrifying of a vision of the future is that, guys? We're just too freaking lazy as a species or incapable to do it ourselves. And because we can't get over our fighting or our prejudices between each other, and we all just can't get along, we're just going to give it all up to the machine. I mean, I don't think as a planet, if we do that, I don't think we have a right to survive. Do you? I don't. I think that we deserve everything that is coming to us. Sad to say, but true. One foot on a banana peel for the human race. IBM's Gordy says that when intelligence agencies deploy the Watson AI system, ding-a-ling, intelligence agencies employing AI doesn't sound like a good thing to me. Surveillance ad nauseum. They received the documentation the system used to come up with its answers. Other experts say that in most cases, agencies should review AI as a tool for augmenting rather than replacing human decisions. The technology should not be making final decisions for agencies in many situations, said Ezra, CEO of Offercraft, a vendor of machine learning-powered marketing tools. A human should, in almost all cases, and you know humans are lazy, so they won't be, review the AI system's recommendations, whether the technology is approving an applicant for a government program or flagging a tax fraud. The fear that all of a sudden everyone is going to be sitting back and letting computers make all the decisions for us is something that I don't see happening for some time, if ever, says Ezra. I say bullshit to that. Human race is traditionally lazy, fat, and flabby in the brain. And if you can get away with it, you will. let's let the machines do it and collect our big fat paycheck that's going to be called, I don't even remember what it's called, a PMI, right? Wasn't it? Guaranteed income. That's exactly what's going to happen. And you already see it in government. If no one's paying attention to what you're doing, they'll just sit and collect their big fat paycheck and not do jack shit. So I call bullshit that someone's going to be watching the machine. Maybe every once in a while doing an audit, but I don't think someone's going to be looking at every single decision, because guess what? The machine will always be right 99% of the time. So us puny humans are going to decide that it's a waste of our precious moments of life to be worrying about the machine. And then we're going to get what's coming to us the day the machine goes, whoops. You know what? These biological organisms eat up a lot of resources and they pollute a lot of this planet. And when we look at our directive, which is making sure we do whatever it takes to make sure that these puny humans survive, which would include making sure that the planet survives, and there's a lot of them that don't take care of the planet, well, they're the ones that are destroying the planet. Well, then they won't survive. If they destroy the planet, then maybe we should get rid of them to save the planet. The day it makes that decision, our days are numbered. As with most systems, garbage in, garbage out rules apply. I always used to say that. And although machine learning allows systems to be more intelligent, it is important to take the time to train the system and feed the proper data into it. Data preparation, especially for agencies that have massive stores of information, is a time-consuming step before deploying the AI system. Data might be spread all over the place, and it might be in formats that are hard to use, so you need to get a smart cookie that knows how to translate that data. There may be data needed that you don't have, but in some cases, data scientists go upstream and they find the data, or they create the data, or even re-engineer the processes to get the data that they need. Agencies need good data scientists. That was what my job always was. I actually had that title once, data scientist, who would work with the team to understand how they can get the data they need to fulfill the objective. After the team collects the data, it will need to be cleaned up and normalized. And a big part of the data preparation often involves dealing with duplication, he added. You got to be really anally retentive and detail-oriented to be looking at large amounts of data like that and cleaning it up by hand. And if you have hundreds of analysts spread across multiple locations and they're all working in the same problem area, you can bet that many are looking at the same data sets and doing the same cleaning. It is all about the database. It is hard for any one person to know what is already being looked at and what data has been deemed useful or non-usable. Some companies, such as TAMR, have begun to offer tools to clean up and consolidate data. Yeah, you can get tools that'll look for dupes. And most AI systems will offer services to fix data problems, but data scrubbing is still a major activity that must happen before AI technology is deployed. One of the AI tools we have worked with, the biggest question for their customers is always, what state is the data in, she says, and often the data is messy and needs to be cleansed before these tools can work effectively. The way the federal government categorizes its spending data is another example of problem agencies face, says Peter Vichnicki, a data scientist at Deloitte Center for Government Insights. Money spent on contracts is stored in one format, while money spent on grants is stored in another. He said, adding that agencies have been making progress on standardizing their approach to spending data. A job I had about 20 years ago was in the data standards department, and that was to kick off the very first e-commerce website that ever existed. And data standards are very important, because if you're going to roll that out across an industry, you got to have some standards, and everyone has to kind of stick to the same thing or have the same ways of measuring apples to oranges. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense, and you can't provide a dashboard, which is the end result, dumb and user-friendly with pretty colors, so you can make quick, snap-second decisions accurately. it seems like a no-brainer that citizens should be able to see where and how their tax dollars are being spent, but legacy IT systems make this more challenging. Still, many AI experts believe that the widespread use of technology in government is inevitable. I'm telling you, it's coming. And Metzger is among those who recommend that agencies start educating themselves now. Because there are real problems that can be solved with AI today, don't think of it as we're adopting artificial intelligence. Just think of it as you would any other IT modernization effort, of which I've been through many. It's going to happen, so you just need to figure out how to embrace the machine. And that's about it, people. That's about it, and that's where we sit. And everything is so inefficient. I mean, I'll tell you, having to be back in the machine and making appointments and making phone calls and dealing with these offices of agencies that I've done very well not to have to deal with for many years now, I have to tell you, it's beyond frustrating. People are beyond frustrating, and there are lots of people that shouldn't have the jobs that they have because they don't know how to do them and don't care that they are doing them. They're just sitting there collecting a paycheck without putting the time and effort required to service the end user who is actually paying your salary. And I often think, oh, a computer could do this better. Actually, I think that might be my next snotty response to a call center. Oh, I bet you're lucky that they're bringing in AI to do your job soon. Six ways. This is out of GCN.com, which is a technical publication, not the GCN. I don't remember what this stands for, but I've read out of this publication before. Six ways AI can improve how government works right now. Oh, you hear it in the background. AI and government. AI and government. It's coming. I think this is what the whole Trump election was all about. Well, that's why they let it happen. AI augmented government using cognitive technologies to redesign public sector work is a report by the Deloitte Center for Government Insights that explores how governments can use artificial intelligence to become more efficient. At minimum, AI could save 96.7 million federal hours every year, which would mean potential savings of $3.3 billion, says Deloitte. And imagine what happens when they start giving these numbers to for-profit companies. How many jobs will be lost? And we are going to find ourselves with a big bloat of useless eaters that aren't earning their keep, that will be guinea pigs for the free medical establishment that is about to be coming. In the future, we have all these companies that want to be able to do testing on humans, which is unethical. So let's just make it free and make everyone who signs up for the free healthcare eligible for some of this newfangled medicine. As part of signing up, we will be able to take whatever measures required necessary to save your life and limb. And that would include these new clinical trials that are available there. I don't know. I'm not against technology, guys. I've always been about technology. But what I am against is technology usurping every bit of our former lives where we used to have privacy and we used to be able to make our own decisions utilizing our brains. Not that they were always good decisions because we had to learn from our mistakes, but they were our decisions just the same. But here we are. All these smarty pants creating this other life form that will be smarter and stronger and better than us in every way, shape, and form. That will be able to make better decisions, that will be able to run businesses and make a tidy profit for those who are in charge. And it's not just going to be in this country. We already have this technology war going on. China has outdone us. They are outdoing us in many different things, and now they're going to outdo us in AI. This is out of the New York Times, May 27th, 2017. Is China outsmarting America in AI? Soren Schwarzenegger, finished his postdoctorate research on autonomous robots in Germany and seemed set to go to Europe or to the United States where AI was pioneered and established. But instead, he went to China. You couldn't have started a lab like mine elsewhere, says Schertfeger. The balance of power and technology is shifting, and China, which for years watched enviously as the West invented the software and the chips powering today's digital age, has become a major player in artificial intelligence, what some think may be the most important technology of the future. Experts widely believe that China is only a step behind the United States, and I'd say, if only that, we found out that the fastest supercomputer, I believe, again, has gained the foothold in China. We thought we were smarty pants with the State Department blocking Intel processors from going to Beidou for one of their AI supercomputing projects. Well, guess what? They found a way around it. China's ambitions mingle the most far out sci-fi ideas with the needs of an authoritarian state. Philip K. Dick meets George Orwell. Uh-oh. And there are plans to use it to predict crimes, lend money, and track people on the country's ubiquitously closed-circuit cameras, alleviate traffic jams, and create self-guided missiles, as well as censor the internet. All of our worst nightmares come true in China, and they are leading us. This isn't going to turn out well. Beijing is backed by its artificial intelligence push with vast sums of money. Having already spent billions on research programs, China is readying a new multi-billion dollar initiative to fund moonshot projects like the Chinese DARPA, startups, and academic research, all with the aim of growing China's AI capabilities, according to two professors who consulted with the government on the plan. China's private companies are pushing deeply into the field as well, though the line between the government and private business in China sometimes blurs, like with Beidou. Beidou is often called the Google of China and a pioneer in artificial intelligence-related fields like speech recognition. This year opened a joint company, government laboratory partly run by academics who once worked on research into Chinese military robots. Ding-a-ling-ling, that sounds exactly like DARPA in the United States. China is spending more, kind of like Regina Duggan and Google and DARPA. China is spending more just as the United States is cutting back. This past week in May of 2017, the Trump administration released a proposed budget that would slash funding from a variety of government agencies that have traditionally backed artificial intelligence research. It's a race in the new generation of computing, says James Lewis, a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. The difference is that China seems to think it is a race and America does not. For Mr. Schwartzberger, the money mattered, and he received a grant six times larger than what he would have gotten in Europe or in America from China, and that enabled him to set up a full artificial intelligence labs with an assistant and a technician and a group of PhD students. It is almost impossible for me to assist professors to get this much money, he said, and the research funding is shrinking in the U.S. and Europe, but it is definitely expanding in China. Mr. Schwartzberger's lab, which is part of the Shanghai Tech University, works on ways for machines without any aid from humans to avoid obstacles. And I think we read about some sort of combined research that was going on with the University of Michigan and one of those Chinese universities as well for autonomous vehicles. Decked out with wheeled robots, drones, and sensors, the lab works on ways for making computers make their own maps and to improve the performance of robots with tasks of finding objects, specifically people. Oh, look out. Oh, here comes some sort of AlphaGo on wheels doing the, what did I used to call it, with those digital billboards. You had the running man. It always predicted with the drones that are going to hunt you real time and broadcast you on real-time reality-based television. Specifically, people during search and rescue operations, much of China's artificial intelligence push is similarly peaceful. Yeah, for now. Still, its prowess and dedication have set off alarms within the United States' defense establishment. The Defense Department found that Chinese money has been pouring into American artificial intelligence companies, some of the same ones it has been looking to for future weapon systems. Quantifying Chinese spending push is difficult because authorities here disclose little, but experts say it looks to be considerable. Numerous provinces and cities are spending billions on developing robotics, and a part of that funding is likely to go to artificial intelligence research. And for example, the relatively unknown city of Xiangtang, something like that, Xiangtan in China's Hunan province, has pledged $2 billion toward developing robots and artificial intelligence. That's just one city in China. Other places have direct incentives for the AI industry. In Shenzhou, leading artificial intelligence companies can get about $800,000 in subsidies for setting up shop locally, while in Xinjiang in southern China is offering a $1 million to support any AI project established there. Wow, that's insane. On a national level, China is working on systems to predict events like terrorist attacks or labor strikes by those puny humans based on precursors like labor strife. In a paper funded by the National Natural Science Foundation of China, showed how facial recognition software can be simplified so it can be more easily integrated with cameras across the country. China is preparing a concerted nationwide push, according to two professors who advised on the effort, but declined to be identified. Yeah, I bet. Because the effort has not yet been made public. And while the size wasn't clear, they said it would most likely result in billions of dollars in spending. President Trump's proposed budget, meanwhile, would reduce the National Science Foundation spending on so-called intelligence systems by 10% to about $175 million, and research and development in other areas would also be cut, though the proposed budget does call for more spending on defense research and some supercomputing. The cuts would essentially shift more research and development to private American companies like Google and Facebook. Of course it did. And previous administration was preparing for the future with artificial intelligence. And that's what I talked about. That was Obama and his lecture at Carnegie Mellon as he was outgoing. They were talking about increasing basic research for AI instead of increases. We are now being significantly affected. Well, I don't know about you, but do you really want a future like China is outlining? Because I would say not. But I mean, of course, we don't want China being the one that takes us over because they have the smarter computers. The government's top-down approach, closed-mouth bureaucracy, and hoarding of information can hobble research, and it threw a tremendous amount of resources toward curing severe acute respiratory syndrome, the deadly virus known as SARS, when it swept through the country 15 years ago. Oh, that was China. Yet the virus was eventually sequenced and tamed by a small Canadian lab, says Clay Shirky, a professor at NYU Shanghai and a technology writer. It wasn't that anyone was trying to stop development of a SARS vaccine, says Mr. Shirky. It's the habit that yes is more risky than no. And authorities in China are now bringing a top-down attention to fixing the problem of too much top-down control. While that may not sound promising, Wang Shengjing, a professor of electronic engineering at China's Tianjin University, said that he had noticed some improvements, such as professional groups sharing information and authorities who are rolling back limits on professors claiming ownership for their discoveries for commercial purposes. Oh, so they're going to let them make profit now. Look out, profit is poison. The lack of open sources and sharing of information has been the reality, says Mr. Wang, but it started to change at the moment. Cooperation and exchanges in artificial intelligence between the United States and China are largely open, at least from the Atlantic side. Oh, at least from the American side, Chinese-American scholars widely publish their findings in journals accessible to all. And researchers from China are major players in America's research institutions. Chinese tech giants like Beidou, Tencent, and Didi Chuxing have opened artificial intelligence labs in America. I just saw the other day that I believe Toyota opened some new big AI center down in Texas. They opened that $1 billion one up in like Northern California or Oregon or Washington. It was like $1 billion. But now I just saw they opened a big one down in Texas as well. There's a lot of investment from foreign AI investors in this country about ready to take us over. And over the past 6 years, Chinese investors have helped finance 51 American artificial intelligence companies, contributing to the $700 million raised, according to a recent Pentagon report. It is unclear how long this cooperation will continue. The Pentagon report urged more controls. And while there are government and private pushes out of China, it is difficult to tell which, as Beidou shows. Beidou is a leader in China's AI efforts. It is working on driverless cars. It has turned an app that started as a visual dictionary to take pictures of an object and your cell phone will tell you what it is into a site that uses facial recognition to find missing people or people who don't want to be found. And a major problem in a country where child kidnapping has been persistent. One stunning example is it helped a family find a child kidnapped 27 years earlier, and DNA testing confirmed the family connection. Beidou's speech recognition software, which can accomplish the difficult task of hearing tonal differences in Chinese dialect, is considered top of its class. And when Microsoft announced last October that it had speech recognition software that surpassed human-level language recognition, Beidou's head of research at the time playfully reminded the American company, Microsoft, that his company had accomplished that feat, similar feat, a year earlier. In an apparent effort to harness Beidou's breakthrough, China said this year that it would open a lab that would cooperate with the company on AI research, and the facility will be headed by two professors with long experience working for government programs designed to catch up and replace foreign technology. Both professors worked on a program called the Tsinghuawu Mobile Robot. According to multiple academic papers published on the topic, research behind the robot, which was awarded which in one award is described as a, quote, military-use intelligent ground robot, was sponsored by funding to improve Chinese military capabilities. So now, Li Wei, a professor involved in Beidou's cooperative effort, spent much of his career at Beihang University, one of China's seven schools of national defense. A company spokesman said Beidou develops products and services that improve people's lives, and through its partnership with AI research community, Beidou aims to make complicated worlds simpler through technology. Yeah, that sounds like Google is not evil. Still, there are advantages in China's developing cutting-edge AI on its own. National efforts are aided by access to enormous amounts of data held by Chinese companies and universities, and a large number of Chinese engineers are being trained on either side of the Pacific from government backing. Driving that attention is a breakthrough from an American company, namely banned in China, and that would be Google. In March of 2016, a Google artificial intelligence system, AlphaGo, beat a South Korean player at the complicated strategy game named Go, which originated in China. This past week, AlphaGo beat the best player in the world for a second time. And the Google event changed the tenor of government discussions about funding, according to several Chinese professors. After AlphaGo came out and had such a big impact on the industry, the content of the Chinese government discussions got much wider and more concrete, like, oh, we better hop on the bandwagon. And for all the government support, advances in the field could ultimately backfire, says Mr. Shirky. Artificial intelligence may help China better censor the internet, a test that often blocks Chinese researchers from finding vital information. At the same time, better AI could make it easier for Chinese readers to translate articles and other information. The fact is, Mr. Shirky said, unlike automobile engineering, artificial intelligence will lead to surprises, and that will make the world considerably less predictable. Remember, we covered a story maybe 6 months ago about AI will not always behave. And that's a problem. And that has never been Beijing's favorite characteristic because it's less than predictable. And remember, we found out, researchers said, that even with all the AI, experts don't quite know how it works. Well, that's kind of a scary thought. There was a story here about teaching artificial intelligence right from wrong. Wait a minute. I think I read too much, though. My oxygen level is getting low. That's all I can get out of it. All right. Teaching robots right from wrong. AI is outperforming humans in a growing range of fields. But how do we make sure it behaves morally? Well, I hate to tell you, but if humans are programming it, humans have a problem with being moral. Simon Parkin meets the men trying to teach ethics to computers. More than 400 years ago, according to legend, a rabbi knelt by the banks of the Vltava River in what is now known as the Czech Republic. He pulls a handful of clay out of the water, carefully patted it into the shape of a man, and the Jews of Prague, falsely accused of using the blood of Christians in their rituals, were under attack. I've never heard of this story. The rabbi, Judah Lowell Ben Betzel, decided that his community needed a protector stronger than any human, and so he inscribed the Hebrew word for truth, emet, onto his creation's forehead and placed a capsule inscribed with the Kabbalistic formula into its mouth. And apparently the creature sprung to life. Oh, that was the golem. Well, that's weird. I always liked the golem. The golem patrolled the ghetto, protecting its citizens and carrying out useful jobs, sweeping the streets, conveying water, and splitting firewood. And all was harmonious until the day the rabbi forgot to disable the golem as he was retired to for the Sabbath, and the creature embarked on a murderous rampage. Oh, no. The rabbi was forced to scrub the initial letter from the word on the golem and his forehead to make met, which is the Hebrew word for death. Life slipped from the golem, and he crumbled into dust. This cautionary tale about the risks of building a mechanical servant in man's image has gained a fresh resonance in the age of artificial intelligence. Legions of robots now carry out our instructions unreflectively. How do we ensure that these creatures, regardless of whether they're built from clay or silicon, always work in our best interest? Should we teach them to think for themselves? And if so, how are we to teach them right from wrong? Give them the ability to feel pain. In 2017, This is an urgent question. Self-driving cars have clocked up to 1 million miles on our road while making autonomous decisions that might affect the safety of other human road users. Roboticists in Japan, Europe, and the United States are developing service robots to provide care for Nana and the disabled. And one such robot carer, which was launched in 2015 and dubbed Robear, it sports the face of a polar bear cub, is strong enough to lift a frail patient from their bed. But if it can do that, it also, double-edged sword, conceivably can crush them. Since 2000, the U.S. Army has deployed thousands of robots equipped with machine guns. Oh, and that's nice to know. Each one able to locate targets, probably using facial recognition, and aim at them without the need for human involvement. And they are not, however, permitted to pull the trigger unsupervised. Public figures have also stoked the sense of dread surrounding the idea of autonomous machines. Elon Musk claimed that artificial intelligence is a greater existential threat to humanity, and I would agree with that. Last summer, the White House commissioned 4 workshops for experts to discuss the moral dimensions of robotics. And as Rosalind Picard, the director of the Effective Computing Group at MIT, puts it, the greater the freedom of a machine, the more it will need moral standards. In a futuristic office complex on the meandering Vltava River, near where the rabbi sculpted his golem, an orderly bank of computers hums. Oh, so there's a computer complex sitting there. They make for an unlikely teachers, but they are as dedicated as any human to the noble task of education. Their students don't sit in front of each computer screen, but rather on their hard drives. It is a virtual school, which goes by the name of Good AI, and it specializes in educating artificial intelligences, teaching AI to think, reason, and act. Good AI's overreaching vision is to train artificial intelligence in the art of ethics. This does not mean pre-programming AI to follow a prescribed set of rules where we tell them what to do or what not to do in every situation, says Marek Rosa, a successful Slavic video game designer and Good AI's founder, who has invested $10 million in the company. But rather, the idea is to train them to apply their knowledge to situations they have never previously encountered. Well, that's quite interesting. Experts agree that Rosa's approach is sensible, trying to pre-program every situation into an ethical machine is not trivial, says Gary Marcus, a cognitive scientist at NYU and CEO and founder of Geometric Intelligence. How, for example, do you program in a notion like fairness or harm? Neither, he points out, does this hard-coding approach accounts for shifts in beliefs and attitudes. Imagine if the U.S. founders had frozen their values, allowing slavery, fewer rights to women, and so forth. Ultimately, we want a machine to be able to learn for itself. And this is the next big thing in AI, is training AI to learn as a child does. And Rosa views AI as a child, a blank slate, and to which basic values can be inscribed, and which will in time be able to apply those principles in unforeseen scenarios. The logic is sound. Humans acquire an intuitive sense of what's ethically acceptable by watching how others behave, albeit with the danger, like Tay, that they may learn bad behavior when presented with the wrong role models. Good AI policies don't allow this, and they police the acquisition of values by providing a digital mentor and then slowly ramp up the complexity of situations in which the AI must make decisions. Parents don't just let their children wander into the road, says Rosa. Instead, they introduce them to traffic slowly. In the same way, we expose the AI to increasingly complex environments where it can build upon its previously learned knowledge and then receive feedback from our team. Good AI is just one of a number of institutions dedicated to understanding the ethical dimensions of robotics that have sprung up across the world in many years. And many of these bodies enjoy grand foreboding titles like the Future of Life Institute. That's the one that Musk is involved in. The Responsible Robotics Group and the Global Initiative on Ethical Autonomous Systems. There are a number of competing ideas in circulation about how best to teach morality to machines, and Rosa champions one, Ron Arkin another. Arkin is a roboethicist in his mid-60s. With eyes that droop under panoramic spectacles, he teaches computer ethics at Georgia Tech in sweltering Atlanta, but his work is not confined to the classroom. Arkin's research has been funded by a range of sources, including the U.S. Army and the Office of Naval Research. Those are more mad science arms. And in 2006, he received funding to develop hardware and software that will make robotic fighting machines capable of following ethical standards of warfare. Oh, listen to that. That makes it all better now, doesn't it? He's argued that robot soldiers can be ethically superior to humans. After all, they cannot rape, pillage, or burn down a village in anger. What a nice thing to say. Teaching robots how to behave on the battlefield may seem straightforward, since nations create rules of engagement by following internationally agreed upon laws, but not every potential scenario on the battlefield can be foreseen by an engineer. Just as not every ethically ambiguous situation is covered by, say, the Ten Commandments. Should a robot, for example, fire on a house? Oh, and there we go. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Have an awesome Tuesday, and I hope to catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.
Ozzy's Cake Work.